Let's get into the Word. Today's message is the gift of love. So as I've told OSL, we've already started this series last week. I know we're a week ahead. It's kind of weird. Come the 11th, everything will work out. We'll be right where we need to be. All right? So we started this series called The Gifts of Christmas. And we've been talking about, or at least last week we started talking about, Advent. Not a word that I use much. I use Christmas season. Advent, not a word that we use, but it is used in the mainline churches and in those who have not chosen to give up some of their strong religious traditions. Does that make sense? And so Advent's used. It's not a bad word. It's a very powerful word. I just use Christmas. When I talk about this season, I talk about Christmas. But the Catholics and I think Presbyterians and probably a lot of others would talk about the word Advent. And so we looked at this last week. Advent is a deep expectation. It is a longing in the heart. It is a waiting patiently, sometimes in and, well, let's say waiting with anticipation. How's that? For something to happen. And in this case, Advent for us is the coming of Jesus Christ. We looked last week how Israel had to wait 400 years for this Messiah who was prophesied of. Now, they are still waiting because they haven't accepted Jesus as the Messiah. But we know there's a day that they will. The Lord says it. Right now, the eyes are on the Gentiles. But it's not just his birth. Yes, we wait for his birth. We get to experience his birth. But Advent links us to the past, the present, and the future. And so we wait with anticipation for the birth of Christ. We wait for anticipation for Christmas morning. As a child, I would go to bed. Mom and Dad would put us to bed. And, you know, I don't think I slept at all. Because it was just like every noise you heard, and just you were just, and the next day you woke up, and there were gifts under the tree, and it was just, wow, this is cool, you know. And so the waiting now, children aren't waiting for Jesus' birth, but as we grow up, we get to realize the real meaning of it, and we teach that to our children, and it becomes part of who they are. But it's not just his birth. Yes, we wait for Christmas morning. It's also his presence with us today. There was an advent in us coming to church, I hope. There was an expectation that God was going to meet us in this place just like he said he would. And so did you come here today with a deep longing in your heart for Christ to move in our presence? I pray that you did. Because every Sunday that we do that, you know what's going to happen? Christ is going to move in our presence. Hallelujah. And then the future, his future coming. My eyes are turned toward heaven with the things that I see happening in our world and the things that I see going on around us and just the way things are happening. The return of the Messiah. We look forward to the return of the Messiah. We look forward to the rapture of the church. It's going to take us all away as believers into the things and the promises that Christ has called us to. It's coming very soon, church. Very, very soon is it coming. And so we are a week early and looking at these and lighting these candles. But when December 11th comes, as I've already said, you're going to see that we come right to where we need to be, all right? And then we will culminate and end this service, this series of services on Christmas morning. So the first gift was hope. I had the candle for hope lit. Kim even found candles with the words on them. I love it. And so we have the candle for hope lit. The hope of the Christian is not the hope of the world. I hope you remember that from last week. The hope of the world says, I hope this will happen. I hope he may come tomorrow. She might pick me up. I hope she picks me up. I hope he comes tomorrow. Listen, the hope of the Christian is totally different. Because the hope of the Christian is not in monetary, or the hope of the Christian is not in monetary things like the world. The hope of the Christian is not in people like the world. The hope of the Christian is not in things happening around this world like those of the world. The hope of the Christian is founded in God. The one who says, my words are yes and amen. The one who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The one who says, I will be with you through those situations in life. I will even show my presence in your hospital bed if that's what you need to see. I will make sure that you know I am there. And so the hope of the Christian is a hope in the God that promises and makes things happen. And so we looked at this last week. We looked at hope past. This is what gives us the purpose in our hoping, right? Because of what he did in the past. I think of King David. King David comes to fight the giant Goliath. He's not a king. He's a little boy at the time. He comes to fight Goliath. And everybody's like, how are you going to fight this giant? I mean, this guy's 9 feet tall and you're a ruddy little kid. And David says, oh, there was a time when a lion snuck in and stole one of the sheep. And I was able to go and grab the lion by the mouth through the power of the Lord and rip that lion in half. And then there was another time when a bear came and took a sheep out of the fold. And I went and killed that bear and delivered that sheep out of that bear's mouth. You see, David saw past hope as the hope for the future. David says, the same God who allowed me to do these things is the same God who's going to strengthen me so that I can defeat this Goliath, this giant as well. And so this is the hope of the past. Because if God did it back then we can be assured, church, that he will do it again. Amen? God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for Charlie, he can do for any of us and will do. What he's done for Anthony, he will do for any of us. Right? If he kept his word back then, how many know he's only going to keep his word again? Hallelujah. The fulfillment that we have in Christ's arrival, the fulfillment of all of those prophecies that talked about this child that would be born of a virgin, he would be the Son of God, he would be God with us, these prophecies that were fulfilled in that little manger, that means that all of the prophecies that God has given us till the end of the age are going to be fulfilled as well. And if you're recognizing prophecy and you're watching things, you're seeing prophecy being fulfilled very, very quickly all of a sudden. That Christ who came as a baby now gives us the assurance that he's going to do so much more as our God and as our Savior seated at the right hand of heaven today. Amen? Amen. Then we add hope present. That hope is that though we may not feel it from time to time, God is very much at work in our lives today. And so I'm going through something, but I don't feel the healing. I'm facing a situation. I don't feel that something's happening, but I still know, wait a minute, I know who my God is. I know the promises that he has made, and I put my trust and I put my faith in him. That's the present hope. We liken this hope to an anchor, that when a ship is being tossed and turned in the waves and threatening to sink, all that captain has to do is find a place to throw an anchor out, and that anchor grabs hold of something, and that boat will ride out the storm because the anchor will hold it firm. And that's what this hope is. It's our anchor for today. Yes, the storms of life are coming. Yes, the rains of life are coming at us. But we have an anchor, amen, Jesus Christ. And so that anchor is holding firm, and that anchor will get us through, amen. And then we came to the hope future. This is the completed work of Christ. This is Jesus returning. Jesus will return, and Jesus is returning, amen. And I believe it's very soon. We need to be patient in our waiting. Okay? But we also need to realize that because we are waiting for Jesus, there's things that we have to do because there's things that have to be done. How many know the church's mission is not completed yet? You know when the church's mission is completed? When we go to heaven. Until then, we'll have to buy more chairs because the mission, as it becomes completed, I believe that the churches are going to have more people in them and be feeding more people and be doing more things because we haven't come to the end of what God has called us to yet. So this morning, we turn our attention toward the second gift, and we light the second candle, and that gift that we are looking at today is love. This gift is love. Amen. Let's not burn the church down. The insurance is paid, but let's not burn the church down. This is the gift of love. What would Christmas be? I'm taking a detour for a second. What would Christmas be without the songs and the carols? Maybe a little saner, you might think, okay, if you're not into that. I do love Christmas songs. I love them very much. But here's the problem. We don't shop in the malls anymore. I mean, you know, the repetitive songs, the elevator music, oh my gosh. But it's on every radio station now. Radio stations, actually, whole radio stations, big radio stations, now cancel all of their programming for about a month to bring Christmas songs on. So it's there. So I thought what I would do today is maybe test your wit. And we'll start this out today with a little song called Name That Christmas Song. No, I don't have any prizes. I'm sorry. And you don't even have to raise your hand. Maybe raise your hand if you know what song it is, and maybe I'll call on you. But let's see. The real thing is just to see how many people really know these songs. So I'm going to read a phrase from a well-known Christmas song, and then I want you to think of the title and let me know. You ready? Here we go. We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Sleigh ride, very good, yes. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Let it snow, very good. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. Blue Christmas, very good. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. What is it? I'll be home for Christmas. Very good. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree. Yes, very good. In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man, but you can do the job. It's almost hard not to sing the words when you're in town. Winter Wonderland. Okay, now, if you didn't get any of those, if you didn't know any of those, I'm going to make it real easy for you on the last one, because the name of the song is the exact words that I'm going to be speaking from the song. All I want for Christmas is you. What is it? All I want for Christmas is you. Very good. All right. Now, I read all that and said all that and had all that fun. I hope we had fun in that, to make a point, because I want you to see, did you notice a theme here in Christmas music? You see, Valentine's Day may get all the glory for being the holiday of love, but it's pretty clear that Christmas is or has the corner on the market for people who are in love and romance. In fact, in 2014, American Wedding Study, conducted by Brides Magazine, researchers found that 19% of all engagements occur in the month of December, making it the most popular month to get engaged. And can you guess what day is the most popular day to pop the question, will you marry me? It's actually Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. My wife and I got engaged on Christmas. So I guess we fall right into that category. So I know that Cupid may not be happy, but I want you to know that Valentine's Day has nothing on Christmas Day, church. As a matter of fact, data released by Facebook, or whatever they're calling themselves today, last year, showed that Christmas Eve is the most popular day to get engaged, followed by Christmas Day, then New Year's Day, and then Valentine's Day. So Valentine's Day falls to the fourth with these other holidays of getting engaged. Now, there's nothing wrong with celebrating your love during the Christmas season. That's not what I'm saying. And if you're getting engaged this Christmas holiday, guess what? I know a good pastor who will do a beautiful wedding for you, and we'll have a great celebration. All you need to do is feed me. I'll show up, right? And so, you know, we'll get it done, that's for sure. But depending on where you find yourself in regard to romance and relationships at this time, at this moment, and in this season, all this love in the air can do one of two things. It can bring happiness, right, and expectation, or it's going to bring loneliness and isolation. And we need to be mindful of that as believers, that there are a lot of people around us in this holiday season where there should be so much joy, because people are hurting inside. People are, I would try to call Dave once a week when Charlie was in the hospital, because I didn't know how this brother managed. You know, didn't know what was going on half the time and couldn't see her and no conversation with her. And my heart was just, this is terrible. This is ridiculous. And so there are people that are separated from family this time of year. There are people who have been injured by family. There are people who have been injured by situations and circumstances. There are things deep down in people, church, that we'll never know. And they don't always react the way we think they're supposed to react to things. And so we need to be open to that. And this is where these gifts that we've been talking about, I'm getting off track a little bit, but that's okay. This is where these gifts of word of knowledge and word of wisdom and prophecy and knowing God really come into being. Amen? So here's my challenge this morning. I said all that to say this. Here's my challenge this morning. Let us not miss the true story of Christmas. Let us not miss the true love of this season. This is a love story that has been written for all of us. Amen? This story is true. This story is faithful. It is of unending and sacrificial love. God's love in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to put on mere flesh, that story of love, church, changes everything. It changes everything. So love has been God's story from the beginning. From the moment of creation, God's love was part of the fabric of our world. God's love was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, both before and after they sinned. God still loved them after they sinned. I want you to know that. They just couldn't have relationship with him because of the sin. God showed his love by saving Noah and his family from the flood and giving them a new start. God again showed his love for mankind so that mankind through the family of Noah, how many know you can all go back, we can all go back to our great, 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 great grandfather Noah. I don't know if that's enough generations or not, but it's close. And then before Noah, we can go back to our great, 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 well, we can just go back to great mommy, great grammy and grandpa, Adam and Eve. Amen? God loves the human race. In the Old Testament, God gave the commandments and the law. That was love. He was showing his love because he wanted them to know how they could atone for their sin when they strayed away from him and how they could be connected to him. And so he loves them. He teaches them about the sacrificial system that he was putting in until he would send his son. And then his love turned the world inside out when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live among us. The God of the universe, born in a stable. Think about that. Not only was he born in a stable, he would die on a cross, and then he would raise again from the grave. Can you see this morning that it took love to change this world? That it took love to overturn the power of evil and the power of death? It's all about love. But I want you to know, this story is not just a feeling. It's not just about emotions. Amen? It's God's story of love, and it's love in action. How the God of the universe loves you so much that he left everything in order to be with you, to sacrifice his life that you could be with him. We can now know relationship with Jesus Christ. We can now have a relationship with our God because of the love of God. This love is the second gift of Christmas that we're going to unwrap this Advent season, this Christmas season. So today we've lit the candle of love. This is the season for rediscovering the coming of our Savior and for gaining even greater understanding in what this love means to each and every one of us and how, if we will apply it to our life, we get to see how Paul says, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is his love for each and every one of us. This is the gift of love. One of my greatest joys of this season when I was a younger man was watching my boys open up their gifts on Christmas morning. The way we did it might be different than the way you did it. That don't matter. There's, you know, but I would love coming out. Well, I would love just getting to bed and them getting out of bed and saying, "Dad, look." The tree would light up. The tree when they went to bed was bare. The tree would light up and the gifts would all be there. And as when they were young, it took 3 and 4 days to open their gifts because they opened one, they would play with it, you know, for a day, you know, and about 4 days later, we're finally opening up the end of the gifts when they were little babies. That was a great thing. Today, it don't last that long, right? But it was one of my greatest joys, the excitement of ripping off the paper, the excitement of trying to guess what was in the box, because you see, in the Albert home, we don't just wrap that box. We put that box in another box, and then we put that box in another box, because my boys were getting pretty smart at guessing what it was. The only gift today that they can still guess every year is the Hess truck, because they know that that box is the Hess truck. So they still get one every year, and now I'm buying them for my grandson, and so they love that. I mean, since they've been born, 90 and 95, they all have their Hess trucks. So, but it was so neat to watch. Or not even playing with the gift, parents, but how about they open it up and just play with the box all day, right? That was a lot of fun. They had imaginations back then. They didn't have to turn on TVs and play video games all day. They could jump in a box and they could be wherever they wanted to be. It was the most amazing thing. I would have just bought boxes. Would have been a lot cheaper. The worst thing, though, in the world, and I used to hate this, was when they opened a box that either needed to be built or needed to have batteries that I didn't have. Oh, what a torturous Christmas morning that was, because now that toy can't be used. Oh boy, you know what I'm talking about. Listen, I said all that to say this. Kids just want to unwrap and dive right in. And that's what we're going to do this morning with this gift of love. We're going to dive right in. Amen. I want to look at it and say, what does this gift of love mean to you? What does this Christmas season, this Advent season, this love that we're celebrating mean to you? What does this gift of love look like as we get into it today? Well, first, we accept his love. We accept his love. I'm going to guess that if I just say the reference, John 3:16, that probably 90% of us know the verse I'm talking about. But I want to go to it because there might be some people who aren't that familiar with the Bible. Maybe they've heard John 3:16, but they don't know it by heart. Well, let's look at it. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Here's the problem with the verse John 3:16. We are too comfortable with it. We quote it all the time. We say it all the time. It has become so familiar to us, we can recite it forwards, backwards, that many times we just look right past it. Oh yeah, John 3:16. Right, John 3:16. I get that. But God's love in sending Jesus is the one love that changes everything, that ministers to anything, and that has the power to defeat any gift, any weapon that the enemy would try to bring against us. You see, we get too familiar with verses sometimes. Now, we know that verse so well that we'll even overlook it if we're not careful. And so we dive to other verses. Listen, John 3:16 says it all. God so loved the world that he gave it. God so loved, so loved. So loved means the magnification, the depth, the power of God's love. God's love was so much that he loved the world. He loved the world so much that he gave his son. Listen, I love you. And as Sister Charlie said, I'll do anything for you if I'm able to do that. But the one thing don't ever ask me is to give my son's life for you. Because I love my sons very much. You hear what I'm saying? I love my wife very much. I love my family very much. God loved us so much. You need to get this. This is the crux of Christmas. God loved us so much that he gave his son. That he sent his son to die. That he sent his son to be made lower than the angels, to come into flesh. See, we miss this. There's so much there. The message of this verse is the core of what we believe. So it makes sense that as we unwrap the gift of love today, we should start here at the center. And the center is this: God loved the world. God loved the world. God loved Magdalena. God loved Tim. God loved Dave. God loved Butch. God loved Ruth. God loved Taisha. God loved, who's back there? Domenica. God loves all of us. I could say all of your names. I don't have time today. God loves you. That's the center of all of this. That's the center of all of this. And you know what? Here it is, the center. My wife told me, she was Catholic, I wasn't, that this candle here will represent Jesus Christ. Okay, the center. Now, I spoke about the cross one time and the center and how the cross is the center of everything. It all comes down to God's love. So the first thing we do with the gift of God's love is so basic that it's so easy to overlook. We must accept the gift. We must accept it. We must come to John 3:16 and recognize that God loved us so much that he wants to give us his son, Jesus. And I say basic, not easy, because it's not easy. Some of you hearing this today, I don't know when you'll be watching this. Somebody might come across this message because the title clicks in something that they've searched, and they might watch it next year. They might watch it in 3 months. I want you to know this online today. It's not easy. Some of you hearing this today, some of you in this house today, taking this step to accept the love of God, to accept Jesus Christ, may be difficult because of the situations you're in, because of the things you don't want to give up, because of the hatred or the anger that you're trying to hold in your heart, or because of other things, I don't know. But it's not always easy. It's basic, but it's not always easy. It may be something you struggled with for a very long time. It may be a brand new idea for you. I've never known that. I was just going to climb my own mountain and get to God in my own way. No, you're not. Not without going through Jesus Christ. Or it may be a gift that maybe you've neglected for a while. I've known God's loved me. I know that God gave me Jesus. But you know what? I've just been living my own life for a while. Maybe you feel unlovable. Maybe you feel like nobody could love you. Nobody could care for you. Maybe you've been burned by human love too many times. And so it's very hard to trust that there's something greater than that. Maybe you think you don't know what I've done, Pastor. You don't know the dark secrets and the doubts and the fears and the pain inside. And you know what? I probably don't, and probably don't need to, unless you ever want to sit down with me and share them to get them off your heart. That's fine. But here, God does. Amen? Your pastor may not know, but God does. He knows every tear that falls. He knows every emotion you're going through. He understands that. The love that God offers is Jesus Christ. No matter what challenges, or no matter what hurts you're holding on to, no matter what pains and struggles you're clinging on to, God's love can handle them, and I guarantee you today that God's love can heal them. That's a great place to say amen. Thank you. Wherever you're at in your journey, it's okay. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not where you are. That's fine. We all don't have to be in the same place in our journey. That's the gift of being in a church of believers. We're all at different places. We're all at different stages. And you know what? we're walking together in the same way, holding hands, praying for one another, holding each other accountable, and seeing God do things in our lives. So don't worry about not being at the same place. God knows. He understands. And his response is open arms of perfect love. I've heard the saying, I probably won't get it right, but it goes something like this. I asked Jesus how much he loved me, and he opened his hands and said this much when he was on the cross. Amen. Wherever you are, I encourage you to accept the gift of love. I encourage you to accept God's gift of love. Let this season of Advent be one of accepting his love. Let this Christmas season be one of his salvation, that God offers his son, that you would say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. I want to live for you. I want to receive this gift of love. Amen. So we first have to accept it. But guess what? There are a lot of people sitting in churches today that have accepted it, but they've never experiencing it. So the second thing is this. If we're going to open this gift and dive in, get into the box, man. You know what I'm saying? Jump in and get it. You know, I used to love those long boxes when the kids had to climb inside to see what was in there, right? So let's get into the box. We have to experience his love. It's not enough to accept it. There are too many Christians with sour faces today. There are too many believers in church pews today, in church seats today, with just ugly faces. I mean, I'm not talking about their faces are ugly. I'm talking about their disposition, their attitudes, because there's no joy in what they're doing. Why serve God if there's no joy in it, right? Why come to church if you're not going to be joyful in it? We need to experience his love. Christmas is a great season in which we may all experience the love of God so deeply when we think about what it means. But again, it's so easy to be distracted by all the things that we need to do. It's so easy to be distracted by all the things that we don't have. It's so easy to be distracted by all the things that are pulling at us and this world that's tugging at us. And so over these next few weeks, guys, there's going to be a lot that's coming at you. There's going to be a lot of things. Don't let those things distract you from the love of God that God wants you to experience in your life today. It's easy to read the headlines and wonder if love can really overcome the darkness and the hatred of our world. I want you to know today it surely can. It's easy to allow the worry of tomorrow or the worry of next year. Oh my gosh, if 2022 was this bad or wasn't, whatever the case is, what's 2023 holding? What's 2020? Listen, God says, don't worry about tomorrow. Live in today because tomorrow has enough worries of itself. Let's get through today, right? God's here today. That's all he wants you to know. God's here today. And if you know that he's here today, guess what you're going to learn? He's going to be into my tomorrows. And he's going to be in my 2023, and he's going to be in my 2024, and he's going to be however far it is before Jesus returns, he's going to be in it. All those things matter. Now, I'm not saying discount those things. They all matter. God's not asking you to ignore these things. God's not asking you not to pay attention to experience his love. He's just saying, will you experience my love in the midst of them? Amen. You don't have to purge or rid yourself of hurry. You don't have to purge or rid yourself of worry. God's not telling you to do that. Guess what? When his presence comes into your life and you sense his presence in a wonderful way, those things will naturally begin to disappear. Right? He invites you to bring them to him. We have a song. I'm not crazy about the song because I forget the song, but it talks about bringing my worry and they can all come too. Maybe you know what song I'm talking about. And I'm like, I don't really want to bring them. But the song really does mean something when you think about it. That God's not saying, hey, no, put them aside before you come to me. He's saying, no, bring them with you. I'll deal with them. And you know what? You're going to leave my presence without them. Amen? Praise God. And the good news is that the love he gives through his son Jesus is enough. If you've noticed my prayers for people to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, one of the things that I've been praying that the Lord probably worked in my heart about 6 months ago was, Jesus, what you did is enough. What you did on the cross, that's all I need. I don't need anything. I think people need to understand that. Because I think some people say, oh no, God could never forgive me. Oh, you don't know that. Listen, I want you to know that exactly what Jesus did on the cross, what he paid for on the cross and rising up from the dead is exactly what you need. You don't need anything more. He did it. We need to understand that. The Apostle Paul described that love that we can experience over in Romans 8, 38 and 39. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that list. Death or life. Okay, I just lost somebody I love. It doesn't have to separate you from the love of God. Sadly, too many people say, well, God should have been here. Well, God could have kept them alive. Listen, let that to God. Give that to God. You know, he knows what he's doing. We don't. Even in death and life, the glove of God will come about. Principalities, that's talking about spirits in the air and powers. And listen, those things present, those things to come. None of this can separate us from the depth and the height, or anything shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen? Amen. That's what Paul says. That's powerful love. As a matter of fact, that's the most powerful love you will ever come to know. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I'm really in a great relationship right now. Yeah, we've all been in those, and you know how they go sometimes. I've been married 30-something years. I'm not going to tell you it was all hunky-dory sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes me and Kim just had to stick our feet down into the mud and say, we're hanging together. We're going to make this happen. We're going to fight it through. I don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to see it through. And you know what? God is good in all of that. Amen? This is the most powerful love, the love of God that flows from Him, that is Him. This is the most powerful love you will ever experience. It is a love that can't be contained. It is a love that can't be constrained by any power in the universe, Paul says. Not even evil, not even death, no person and no power. Amen? That's this love that we have. But it's love that needs to be experienced. It's love that you just shouldn't just hear the pastor speak about. It's a love that you need to experience. If we want to go back to our example of kids on Christmas, this is not a gift to accept and unwrap and then put on the shelf. Oh, that's a great gift. Nice, it'll fit right there. And then we never do anything with it again. No, this is a love that we open and we put on. This is a love that this is a gift that we open and we jump right on, right? This is a gift that keeps giving. It's more like a stuffed animal. Do you ever see a kid with a stuffed animal and they really love? What do they do with that animal? Man, they grab that thing and they hold that thing and they sleep with that thing and the eyeballs fall off and they're still hugging that thing and the ears rip and they're still hugging that thing. Why? Because it means so much to them. This is what your love with God is. And I don't think the eyeballs or the ears are going to fall off if you hug God too much. But I'll tell you this, I know this, it's something like that. Or it's like a complete set of clothes. Did you ever see kids get clothes? I never liked clothes for Christmas, man. I wasn't that kid. And my aunts used to bring me clothes. I opened up, where's the gift at, you know? I'm okay with clothes today, but my clothes are ripped jeans and a t-shirt. This is not me. This is me in front of you, but this is not me. But anyway, it's like, ladies, I guess I could pick on you for a little bit. It's like getting that new whatever clothes, and you just jump right in. I mean, you're talking about pants, shirt, socks, and shoes, and whatever. You got to wear them all, right? You got to fit in. This is that. And I know these are terrible examples to begin to talk about the love of God, but you get the picture of what I'm talking about. God's love is our lifeblood. God's love is the oxygen coursing through us to continually fill us with life. That's what God's love is. My prayer for all of us this Christmas is that we would let this season be one of embracing God's love fully and experience God's love fully in new and deep ways as we continually open our hearts and open our hands and our minds and our lives to Him. There's a dimension of God's love that you've not experienced yet, but that He wants to give to you. And then lastly today, how am I doing? Okay. I'm good. Lastly today, so we accept His love, we experience His love, and thirdly, we share His love. Come on. If you have ever been in love, there's a good chance that you've done something loud and crazy to proclaim your love to the world, right? Maybe you literally shouted it out in a public place. I love Kim Fratone. I'm sure I did that, embarrassed her. Certainly nowadays, you just put it on Facebook. Hey, I'm in love with so-and-so, whatever the case may be. Right? I don't know, anybody ever use a Jumbotron? Right? You know, I'm talking about the big screens of sports. You know, sometimes they'll do things. You know, I don't know. I guess you got to know somebody to do that. I don't know how that works. But it's what we humans do, isn't it? Right? We want people to know. It's why we have centuries worth of poetry. It's why we have movies and novels and plays about love, songs about love. Because people want to proclaim their love. You can always tell when Taylor Swift is in a new love because she's got a new song, right? It's always a hit, but she's always got a new song. It's what we do. Taylor, I don't even know you. I'm sorry. If you ever watch this, I apologize. I wasn't picking on you. I love your music. When we are in love, it shows. That's what I'm saying. When you're in love, you can't help it because love overflows. The gift of God's love is the same way. It's for sharing. It's for letting people know. I wish we got more Facebook and more whatever you want to call it to just say, I'm in love with Jesus. Jesus is the number one in my life. I'm going to church today. Why don't you meet me there? We're going to do women's group. You know, just let everybody know what our lives are into because we love God so much. We need to share. And here's the thing about this gift of love. Sharing it doesn't leave us with any less. It just makes us have room for more. Amen? Let me say that again. Sharing God's love doesn't leave us with any less. It makes our hearts bigger to have room for more of what God wants to do. Once we accept and experience the love of God, the next natural step is to share it and to let it overflow and just flow into the world around us. John spoke about this. 1 John 4, 9 to 11. I'm coming to a close. I know I'm getting to the end here. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let me read that again. Beloved, he's talking to the church. Beloved, it would be Christians. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So God's love comes to us, and God's love flows through us. The more we embrace, the more we experience it, the more we get to share it with others. What does this look like for you this season? It could mean spending quality time with family or friends. It could mean reconnecting with a relationship that's drifted away or has been disconnected for a while. It might mean serving neighbors. It might mean serving strangers or seeking out someone you suspect is lonely or hurting at this time of year. It might mean, and I know this is tough, forgiving someone who has hurt you or apologizing to someone you have hurt. Charlie, I'm not going to go into details, but you said it today. In dealing with Charlie through a lot of stuff when she first met us and she would text us, and she admitted today to you that there was a hatred in her heart. She shared with Kim and I and asked about how she walks through that forgiveness, and we had scriptures for her and things. But did you notice when she said that the Holy Spirit came into her room, that left? I mean, totally. Charlie was a new person. How do I know that? Because she let me know that she didn't hold any of that anymore. It wasn't even an issue. And that was a big issue for you. If God can do that in Charlie's life, he can do it. See, I think we just come to this love and we say, yeah, Pastor, I hear you. I can love so-and-so, but there's no way that I can forgive that. Yes, you can. Because he will. You can't. But he will. He'll take it from you if you'll give it to him. The problem is, whether we like to admit it or not, we like that a little bit. And we hold on to it because it gives us something to fight for. It gives us something to be. I don't understand it. I've had it in my heart. But if we'll say, Jesus, I can't do this without you, but I know you can do this, he'll take that. Now, I don't know why I went there. That's not in my notes. That's for somebody today. That's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge today for somebody who's dealing with this. Because when I said that you might have to find someone who has hurt you or forgive them or apologize to someone you have hurt, inside your heart, you just said, I can't do that. I want you to know God's saying today, yes, you can. And for all of us, here's what I would say. There are endless ways for us to allow God's love to flow through us. Endless ways. You'll see it at your job. You'll see it at your home. You'll see it at the gas station. Listen, if you ask God to open your eyes, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be amazed at the things that he pulls you into this holiday season, this Christmas season. You're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed at the ways your heart is tugged and who it's tugged toward and who it's and who he's demanding of you to go and be involved in their lives. Let's put a Selah there for a minute. Selah, if you ever read it in the book of Psalms, means I just wrote something or I just sang something. I need to be silent for a moment and I need to think about that. So let's put a Selah there. And I want you to close your eyes. I'm closing. I want you to close your eyes. You can close your eyes in an attitude of prayer, or you can close your eyes in a attitude of deep thought. Either way, it doesn't matter. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of one way right now that you can share God's love this week. And then do it. Don't just think about it. Lord, I pray today that you would drop into every one of our hearts a face, a group of people, some situation that you have called us to minister your love to. And God, you would give us the strength to walk into it, not away from it. Lord, and it would make all the difference in this situation. This situation, some of them have been around for years. It's going to be handled this week because of God's love. And you're going to say, oh my gosh, it was that easy? It was. But it had to be the right timing. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. And then I want you to keep your eyes open. You can open them now. I want you to keep your eyes open in the world that you work in the world that you live in, and in the things you do this week, and look for that opportunity. And when it comes up, be active. Walk into it. Say the things that need to be said, and let's see what God's love will do. Boy, I'd love to hear testimony next week about those things. Maybe somebody would remind me, because I will totally forget. I don't know. Can I put somebody in charge of reminding me to ask that? Raise your hand, somebody. Say, Pastor, I'm going to ask you next week to remind the church, to give a testimony about what God did through the sharing his love. Amen. Thank you, Pablo. So let's keep our focus this season on his love. On his love that reaches deeper than the sappy carols, and his love that reaches farther than the romantic statistics. Let's reveal... That would be the wrong word. Revel? Let's live. Let's live in God's love this week. Amen? And let's let it be known to others by the way that it flows out of each and every one of us. Maybe this would be the season of accepting and experiencing and sharing God's gift of love in a new and a deeper way in every one of our lives. Amen? Let's pray.